we left off yesterday discussing the principle of Ein Safik Motzi Medivat, right? So we saw that in the sugya Maseches Yevamos, Ein Safik Motzi Medivat plays a role in terms of when the person is a Yoresh, not a Yoresh, whereas in our sugya, Shnei Mochs and the Talmud, so Ein Safik Motzi Medivat doesn't appear at all. So we had four different halachim in the Rishon, and what exactly the difference between the two sugyas is. So it basically broke down to Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. According to Rashi, there's this all-encompassing din called Ein Safik Motzi Medivat. Anytime you have a din Torah, and we know that I have a certain share in the din Torah, and we're not even sure whether you have anything, so according to Rashi, the person who's got his hand in the pot, he's basically going to win the din Torah. Ein Safik Motzi Medivat. You have to look around for reasons why our Mishnah somehow falls short in terms of that. So it does it, Rashi. One reason, all the Shem are trying to figure out why our Mishnah is slightly different. But the basic starting point, the rule is, according to Rashi, that Ein Safik Motzi Medivat. And according to Tosfos, the sugya is the exact opposite. According to Tosfos, the starting point is that Ein Safik Motzi Medivat doesn't really exist. It's not a principle to the Yevamos. It's very, very unique in Yevamos, in the case of the person who's not sure whose son he is, because there it's not a question that I'm entitled to part to the money. It's an issue of the Gavra. I'm a Yerush, and you're not a Yerush. I have a Shem Gavra of a Yerush, and you're nothing. So that's why Ein Safik Motzi Medivat kicks in. But anywhere out of that realm, in any case that's any slightly different than Yevamos of Lamechas, it's not even in the ballpark to discuss Ein Safik Motzi Medivat. So basically you have Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Is there such an underlying principle in Yevamos? Two guys come to the din Torah, about $100, and we know that one's got 50. That's open and shut case. We know one guy's got 50. And the other guy, we don't know whether he has anything. Does the fact that I have 50 entitle me to the rest or not? Is there such a principle in Yevamos? Rashi holds fundamentally yes, and Tosfos holds fundamentally no. So the Rishonim have discussed this machlokes in light of the sugi that appears in the first paragraph of the Kama, the seventh of the Mamre Kamos. It's a little bit of a somewhat of a complicated sugi, so we have to get a little bit of a background in order to understand how this is going to play out in the Mamre sugi. So the Gemara discusses the following case in the seventh of the Mamre Kamos, with the comment of Testament Al of Tietman. Ha'achet Shechoku. So you have a person dies and he leaves behind two sons, and the two sons, as long as the estate hasn't yet been split up, so it's called an alachah tfusas abayis. It's a little like the estate. It's in limbo. Once the brothers finally decide out of the divided Yerusha, so Reuben takes his share, Shimon takes his share, and trying to go their part ways. Problem is, turns out that the father has owed money to somebody. 20 years ago, the father borrowed money, never paid back. So now the balchov, the person who's the creditor, comes to collect the money. This guy's not—he's not going to go track down all the brothers. He comes, Reuben. Reuben's in here. Reuben's got field here. Reuben's got property here. So he goes in and he takes away whatever Reuben's property is, corresponding to the value of the loan. So it turns out that basically Reuben is one of the sons, just paid off the entire debt of the father. So now Reuben comes to take Shimon and his brother through the entire. He says, "Wait a second, it's not fair. Our father borrowed $1,000. I paid off the entire $1,000. You should reimburse me. You should give me half of what I paid back." So what's the deal? So Rav Amar Botla Machlokes. Rav says that we view the entire Machlokes. Here it doesn't mean Machlokes as an argument. It means the Chaluka. It means we stated the division of the property that took place between Reuben and Shimon as being Botel. In other words, we have to start all over again. And Reuben does, in fact, have a right to tell Shimon, you have to kick in half the value. So basically, for all practical purposes, the original chalukah, the original division, is null and void. We have to now take whatever the remaining money is. Let's say if the whole Yerusha was $5,000 and $1,000 of it was spent on the chov, so now you have to start all over again. We now only have Yerusha $4,000, and each brother gets, of course, $2,000. Turns out that his brother paid off half the chav. That's the view of Rav, that we have to undo the chaluk and start again. Ushmol amaviter. And Shmuel says no. Shmuel says that whatever Reuben paid, so he's lost. It's over, finished. Vita means that he lost it, it's gone. So Reuben, in effect, had to take up, had to pay off the entire chav. Rav Asi Omar, Rav Asi gives us a very cryptic statement. Note the Revia Bekak or Revia Bemos. Rav Asi says something about a quarter, and something about Karak, and something about Mos. I don't want to explain it yet, because that's going to be the bulk of what the shear is. So the Gemara begins to explain what's going on, seemingly arbitrary opinions. Rav says the Chalukah is over, you got to start again. Shmuel says the Chalukah is still valid, what's going on? So the Gemara says what they're arguing about is a really fundamental question as to what the nature of the relationship between brothers of the body Yerusha is all about. How does Allah view that? So Rav Amar, Bapa Machlokes, Rav says that when you have achim, when you have brothers who divide up the Yerusha, so they're still viewed as yorshim. That means they still do have a relationship. They're still viewed as equal heirs, and as such, if one of them pays, so he has, Reuven has the right to turn around to Shimon and say, listen, you have to reimburse me. I'm a Yerush, you're a Yerush. We're in this together, so it's not fair that I should pay more than you. So according to Rav, even after they divided the Yerusha, they're still like Yerushim. They never really go their own ways. They're still considered to be connected to one another. Shmuel says no. Shmuel says that Kozban, as long as the Yerusha wasn't divided, so then we viewed it as a common property. We viewed it as an estate, as a it's called in the Maslash, a Tfusas of Ayas. Once the Yerusha is divided, then the Halacha views it as if each one bought out the other one's property. It means we have $10,000 here sitting in a common estate. So comes Reuven and says, listen, I'm going to buy $5,000 off of you, and you're going to buy $5,000 off of me, and it's as if I bought my lands from you, you bought your lands from me, and we go our own way. We have nothing to do with each other anymore. So once the Yerusha is divided, so each man on his own, and the halacha is, it's like Chalakech Shlomech Rai is dummy. It has the status of when I buy land from you, so I can buy land either Be'achrayis or Shlomech Be'achrayis. Buying land Be'achrayis means that, now, it's a regular case, not a case of Yerusha. I buy a piece of land from you, I'm nervous that maybe you owe money to somebody that I didn't know about, and they're going to go take that land, and I'm going to lose. So I can make a stipulation that I'm buying it by achrayas. Achrayas means with responsibility. It means if and when the land gets taken away from me, you're going to reimburse me for that, for whatever I pay for the land. That's lokeach achrayas. Lokeach shelo achrayas means that I'm willing to risk it. I'm going to maybe get a better price for risking it. So I'm going to buy a piece of land from you. And we're going to make the following deal. If by some chance this land gets taken away from me, so then it's my loss. I'm willing to live dangerously. No, I don't take any insurance on this land. So there are different types of lechuchos. There's lekech bechrayis and lekech shlo bechrayis. So the question is, when brothers divide up the Yerusha, how do we view that division? Do we view it as a lekech bechrayis, or do we view it as a lekech shlo bechrayis? So Shmuel's opinion was that it's like a lekech shlo bechrayis, and therefore each one for themselves. So if Yaakov dies, it leaves behind Reuben and Shimon. So Reuben takes $1,000 of property, and Shimon takes $1,000 of property, and they part ways. It doesn't do with each other. There's no responsibility, no strings attached. If it happens to be that a Baal Chob, somebody who Yaakov had owed money to, comes and collects the property, he has the right to go up to either one of the brothers. He can go up to both of the brothers, whatever he wants. He can go after the property that was originally Yaakov's. But if he decides to take away the property of one of the brothers, that brother has no right to go and demand the other brother to chip in. He has no ability to say, listen, I laid out part of the, I paid up my father's loan, you have to reimburse me. Not to tell. Once we divide the property, I bought my share of the property with you. It's your loss. I have no responsibility, there's no insurance, there's no guarantee to you. So that was the view of Shmuel. So again, we have Machlokes, Rav, and Shmuel. What do you do when brothers split up property, and the Baal Chov, the creditor, goes and collects it, one of the brothers? Do we say that that each brother is responsible to one another, because they're still considered to be like Yerushim, they still have a relationship of common ground? Or do we say, no, each one went their own way, each one has a lokech shlo b'achrayis? That was the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. So the question is, where does Rav Asi fit into the picture? Rav Asi Amar, note the review of the Kaka, review of the Mos. So Rav Asi seems to say, we'll go with the first shot, Rav Asi seems to say that the brother whose property was taken away, Reuven, has the right to demand a quarter of the chov back. What does it mean, a quarter of the chov back? So Rav Asi wasn't sure whether he's really entitled to demand reimbursement or not. So if we would know for a fact that he's entitled to be reimbursed, then he would be reimbursed half of what he paid, because it would make sense. That's what Rav said, that the brother split in terms of paying back the chov. If we would say he's entitled to nothing, like Shmuel said, then he would get zero. So we don't know, is he entitled to 50% of what he paid? Is he entitled to 0% of what he paid? So Rav Asi says, we don't know. So it's a suffix. So therefore we give him back 25%. So it's a suffix. How is he going to collect that money? So Rav Asi says, you want to collect it either a quarter of land, you want to collect it in cash, but However, it's going to be collected, it can be collected. But the basic punchline of Rav Asi is that you pay a revia, you pay a quarter. So by paying a quarter is tantamount to saying you're paying half of what we suspect that you may have to pay. So we don't know, we're not sure. If we would know for a fact that you have to reimburse your brother, then you'd have to pay half of what he paid, because then it would make sense to split the chob evenly. If we would be convinced that you don't have to pay anything, then we'd say, sorry, you're going to get nothing. We're not sure what to do, so therefore we make you pay half of that amount, which i.e. translates to be 25% of the chov. So this is the way the Gemara presents it, three different possibilities. Rav holds for sure you're entitled to reimbursement, Shmuel says for sure you're not entitled, and Rav Asi is not sure. So we have a problem here. Come to Rishonim and say, well, wait a second, this Gemara seems to take a stand on the issue of Ein Safek Motzi B'Dei Vaaleh. Why is that? So when Reuven, who ended up paying back the chov, he paid back the father's chov, because the chov went to him first. So Reuven is now taking his brother Shimon to his insider. So he's saying, Shimon, wait a second, it's not fair. I paid back the whole chov, and you got off scot-free. So Reuven is demanding something back from Shimon. What is he demanding back from Shimon? He's not demanding back from Shimon the entire payment. That's clearly not fair. Obviously, Reuven is saying, listen, I'm willing to split the payment with you. I don't want to take away your entire Yerusha, but I want your share towards the Chof. So when Reuven is coming to Shimon, Reuven is not claiming 100% payment. He's only claiming 50% payment. What is Shimon's response? Shimon's saying, I'm not paying you anything, because we're like Lekuchos. We have nothing to do with you. Zero. You bought me out, and I bought you out, and you were the unlucky person who got your field taken away. That's not my problem. So the Din Torah is not on 100% of the field. It's not on the 100% of Shimon's property. Reuven is not claiming all of Shimon's property. Reuven is only claiming half of the chov out of Shimon's property. The other half of Shimon's property, Reuven's saying, of course you're entitled to. I'm going to take that away. Why should I take that away from you? You're not taking mine away from me. I'm not going to take yours away from you. So come to the Rishonim and say, wait a second. This seems to touch on the sugya of Ein Safek Motzi B'Dei Vaaleh. As we spoke about yesterday, we began today's year. The Ein Safek Motzi B'Dei Vaaleh means whenever you have two people coming to the Torah, and one person is for sure entitled to something. One guy for sure has something, has a stake over here. One guy for sure is entitled to part of the property, and the other guy, maybe yeah, maybe no. So, wait a second. In this Din Torah, when Reuven is coming to Shimon and saying, I want some of your property back, I'm conceding to you. I'm molded to you. I don't want everything. I'm conceding that a good chunk of the property is going to remain yours. We're only talking about a small percentage, a small 50%. We're only talking about part of it to reimburse me. Whereas Shimon says, you're entitled to nothing. Shimon says, you're a lokeach. You bought out your half of the Arusha from me. I bought out my half. You bought out your half. We parted. We went separate ways. So I'm giving you nothing. So come to Rishonim and say, wait a second. Reuven is conceding that Shimon has something over here, and Shimon is claiming that Reuven has nothing. That's exactly what we spoke about yesterday. That's called Ein Safek Motzi B'Dei Vaaleh. So how in the world could Rav Asi make such a statement? Rav Asi says, oh, you get a quarter. We split it. We split the claim. Why? We shouldn't split the claim. We should say Ein Safek Motzi B'Dei Vaaleh, and you should get absolutely nothing. Reuven should walk away with nothing out of Shimon, because Shimon was a Vaaleh, at least in part of the Chosim. Shimon had a for sure claim over here, but Reuven, his claim is a little bit shaky. That's the question that the Rishonim are bothered by. Why don't we say that Ein Safek Motzi B'Dei Vaaleh? So with Chorah, we have to go back to our discussion that Ein Safek Motzi B'Dei Vaaleh of yesterday, and see, does that sugya play out over here? So we mentioned that there's a Machlekes Rashi, and tells us, is there really such a principle called Ein Safek Motzi B'Dei Vaaleh? So Rashi's shita was that yes, Rashi says there's a basic principle that permeates all of the Dibamanis, that whenever you have any Din Torah, one guy is for sure, one guy is shaky, the guy is for sure wins. It doesn't matter. If the guy for sure has any shaykhus at the moment, we know for a fact I have 50% at the moment, and now we're discussing the other 50%, Ein Safek Motzi B'Dei Vaaleh. So according to Rashi, it's a really good question. What about according to Tosfos? Tosfos said, there is no such thing of Ein Safek Motzi B'Dei Vaaleh. There's no such principle of Ein Safek Motzi B'Dei Vaaleh. The only time Ein Safek Motzi B'Dei Vaaleh plays out is like the case we had on the board yesterday, but there's a Safek and the Gavra. Am I this person's son? Am I that person's son? Am I a Yerish? Do I have a Chalei Shem with a Gavra Shem Yerish? Or am I not a Shem Yerish? But whenever there's any other kind of a Safek, For example, we don't know whether who picked up the towels first, like Asugya, or other cases the Gemara has about Mabasa, some kind of a suffix that we're not sure about some facts, we don't know some information. That's not called Ein Safek Masa Devad. Ein Safek Masa Devad is only when you have two people, one person's wearing the hat of a Yerish, and the other person may or may not be wearing that hat. That's called Ein Safek Masa Devad. In Asugya, there's no Chavos, there's no Kavra, there's no Shem Kavra. We're sitting in the base Medrash, and we don't know what the status of Chalukah Zeirusha is. Is Chalukah Zeirusha like a Lekeach? Is Chalukah Zeirusha like a Yoresh? Is there insurance? Is there reimbursement? Is there not reimbursement? We have Sveikas. The people don't have Sveikas. We as Rabbanim, we in the base Medrash have Sveikas. But the Gavras themselves, this guy's the Yoresh, this guy's the Yoresh. Now we're trying to figure out what to do under these circumstances. According to Taisus, under those circumstances, the principle of Ein Safek Masa Devadai is totally, completely meaningless. Therefore, according to Taisus, Rav Asi doesn't pose a problem. Rav held his way, Shmuel held his way, Rav Asi held, they don't know what to do. So therefore, the Safek is split up the money. But according to Rashi, the Chari have a big problem. So how do we solve the problem according to Rashi? So the Chari, we have to go back to the Gemara, back to the 7th and the Rambam Kamas, and read the Machlokes Rav, Shmuel, and Rav Asi very, very carefully, that maybe there's another pshat in the Gemara. So we go back to the original story. It started out with two brothers split up in Yerusha. Reuben walks away with $1,000, Shimon walks away with $1,000, and now Balchov comes a month later and says, I have a document that your father Yaakov owed me money. So Reuben, you're the one who's closest to me, you're here, I'm going to go collect $1,000 from you. So Reuben gives up the $1,000, no choice. Now Reuben starts banging on his brother Shimon's door and saying, hey, you better give me $500 back. You better reimburse me because I paid off our father's chav. So Rav said that that's a very, very good claim. Rav said that even though they split up the Yerusha, they're still considered to be Yorshim. They're still considered to be related to one another. They're still heirs. They're still in this problem together. And therefore, Shimon's got to reimburse Reuben for half of what he paid. That was Rav's extreme shita. And Shmuel says, Vitei. Shmuel says, no. Once they buy each other out, once they split up the Yerusha, that's like buying a person out. And it has the status of a lekech shelo bechrayus. Therefore, Reuben's going to get reimbursed absolutely nothing. And Rav Asi said a cryptic statement that he gets a quarterback. So if you look carefully, when Rav Asi used that phrase, he gets a quarterback, Rav Asi didn't quite say he gets a quarterback. He says, Nota Ravia Bekarka or Ravia Bemos. He gets a quarterback, and then Rav Asi describes how he's going to get reimbursed, through Karka or through cash. So we, when we presented the sugya, we followed in the footsteps of many of the Rishonim, that Rav Asi is basically saying you get a quarterback. You get half of reimbursement, and how do you get the reimbursement? Either through karka or through mos. So when Rav Asi used that phrase, karka or mos, he didn't mean to get both, he means to get either one. So you pick, choose which one you want. You want a quarterback in karka, or choose a quarterback in mos. Either one is going to be acceptable to reimburse. But Rav Asi never meant to say two quarters equals a half, that's not what Rav Asi said. But comes Rashi, in the 8th of the Maramah Kamos, and quotes an entirely different shot. If you take a look at Lishna Charina, it's at the end of the Rashi, it's Ikil Kuchos Damu, it's three lines in. The first one of the lines is Bemos. Lishna Charina, Rashi says, I'm going to give you another interpretation of what Rav Asi said. Uriya Bemos, Revia Bemos Mamish, Levad Revia Bekarka, says Rashi, that's Rav Asi, that Rav Asi didn't mean to say you get a quarter of either or, but rather you get a quarter of Maos as well as a quarter of Karka. Why is that? Verna Renke Karka. Why is that true? Why is the Maos and the Karka add up together? Rav Asi was besupik about the following. Iki Yarshin Damu, the Chai Bahakslo Machtes Chelko Karka, because maybe Rav is right that the brothers that split up the Yerusha are still of the status of Yarshim, and therefore part of the property is taken away from one, you got to start all over again. Starting all over again would mean you have to divide up the karka all over again. So you could have just paid the guy off cash, but you have to sell it the most. You have to divide up the karka because the Yerusha was bought, all the Yerusha got canceled, so you got to start over again. Oh, Rav Asi said, no, maybe they're not ki Yarshim, but maybe Okilikuchos Damu. Maybe they're like people who bought each other out. But this is where Rav Asi changes from what we said before. When Rav Asi was Mesupik, he wasn't sure whether they have the status of a Lekeach. He didn't mean like a Lekeach, Shaloi Biachrayas. He meant a Lekeach Biachrayas. He meant someone who bought something with an insurance policy, with the understanding that he's going to be reimbursed if the property is taken away from him. Now, if I buy a field from you, with this clause in the document that if the field gets taken away, you're going to have to pay me back. How are you going to pay me back? You have to pay me back with land. You just have to give me back my purchase price. You have to give me back the cash that I spent. So Rav Asi says that when brothers split up the Yerusha, maybe we don't view them as Yerushim to require to undo the entire Yerusha and start from scratch. Maybe we view it as a mekach. It was a sale. The sale is over. The Yerusha is finished. They have the status of lochim, but they have the status of lokeach beachrayas. And lokeach beachrayas is going to be reimbursed, but he's going to be reimbursed with cash. He's not going to give me back a hand. So therefore, Avas, he said, I don't know what the status of these brothers is. I don't know whether the brothers are Yerushim. I don't know whether the brothers are the kuchos. But either way, Reuven's going to get reimbursed. He's going to get reimbursed either as a Yerush or as a lokeach. My nafkamina, what's the practical difference whether we're reimbursing him as a yorish or as a lekeach? Nafkamina is how he can demand payment. If he's a yorish, he can demand land. If he's a lekeach, he can only has a right to collect cash. So Rav Asi says, I don't know what he is. We're not sure. The halacha isn't sure whether he's a yorish or whether he's a lekeach. So therefore, how are we going to reimburse him? Half and half. We're going to reimburse him up to 50% of what he lost. That's no question. But how are we going to make that reimbursement? 25% of it is going to be through land, and 25% is going to be through cash. That's what Rav Asi meant when he said, revere the cattle, revere the bulls. Not like the first shot. The first shot was, Rav Asi says, you're only going to get 25% back. That's it. How are you going to get it back? Either cash or land, we don't know. That's the first shot. The second shot is no. You're going to get your entire reimbursement. You're going to get paid back 50%. No questions about it. The only thing is, we don't know how to make that reimbursement, either through land or through cash. Therefore, we're going to split what we give you. Half of the reimbursement is going to be in cash, half is going to be in land. That's a radically different shot than what we said in the first shot. Why does this radically different shot change everything? Because l'chora, according to this shot, then the whole question of ain't suffering motzim devadeh is a moot question. Ain't suffering motzim devadeh meant, according to Rashi, we have it in Torah, I know that I'm entitled to X amount of money in return, and I know for sure I'm entitled to something, and you're not even sure what you're entitled to. We don't even know what you're entitled to. So comes Rashi and says, ain't something much we did not think. But if I'm some chesed yesterday, that since one of the parties is a for sure, he's going to get part of the property, the other party is not even sure he's getting anything, ain't something much we did not think. When does that make sense? That makes sense when we're having a din Torah about, are you going to get money or you're not going to get money? Here, there's no din Torah about how much money you're going to get. It's an open and shut. Everybody knows what you're going to get. You're going to get exactly 50%. That was never a discussion, according to Rav Asi. It was only a quirk of a discussion, not how much you're going to get, but what method that payment's going to take. That's a separate case. That's a separate shot of the halacha. We know you're entitled to $500. There's no question you're going to get $500 worth of value. Are you going to get it in land? Are you going to get it in cash? What's up to the $800? It's a different clause. So what do you do when we know you're entitled to $500, but we don't know how you're going to get it? So we split it. We give you $250 one way, $250 the other way, and call it a day for everybody. So according to Rashi, it's the second shot. According to the Lishna Harina, so Rashi says himself, the Lashon Acher, the second pshat, this is somewhat complicated pshat in the Gemara, the Rav Asi never meant to say you're only going to get half of what you want, you're going to get everything that you want, just going to get it in a different manner, in different ways, so that L'chor is going to save Rashi Shita about Ein Sofek Motzim Devadeh. There's something else that we accomplish through the second pshat. Although the second pshat is a little bit more complicated, it really solves another basic question that you have when you learn this sugya about Rav Asi. Rav Asi said, we don't know what to do, we throw our hands up. Are you a yoresh or a lokeach? According to the first shot, the suffix is, you're going to get anything. According to the second shot, of course you're going to get. It's just a question of how you're going to get. There's a very big problem with the first shot. What do we do when we have a suffix? What's the rule? You have a suffix in Mammon. What's the absolute guiding principle of all suffixes in Mammon? Hamotzech ve'el raya. So what's Rav Asi talking about? Rav Asi says, oh no, we're not going to give you nothing, we're not going to give you everything, we're going to give you 50% of what you think you're entitled to. Since when does halacha work like that? So a moment of multiple suffix, a moment of multiple suffix, we pass the most of chilul araya. So what's Rav Asi talking about? Why is he doing that? According to the second shot in Rashi, that makes perfect sense. This is not a moment of multiple suffix. We don't have a doubt that you're going to get reimbursed. We know exactly, you're going to walk away with $500. No question asked. It's a question, how are you going to get that money? So that we make it as fair as possible. So even Stephen, you get half of that money in cash, half of that money in land, everyone walks away, you know, somewhat happy. But according to the first canon Rashi, that it's a suffix whether you get zero or 500, so we should get zero, because the most of the right. So the first canon Rashi is very, very difficult on other grounds as well. But that in and of itself wouldn't be the end of the world, possibly, because maybe one could argue that a motzim mechaveh l'varaya doesn't apply here for a technical reason. We know that there are fundamentally different types of sfeikas that you could have in terms of dinei Torah, in terms of shaila din halacha. Sometimes the suffix emanates from a suffix in mitzvahs, means we don't know what the facts were. We don't know. Did your animal go or did your animal not go? Did you break the window or did not break the window? We don't know. We're not sure. We weren't there. Did the animal give birth here? Did it give birth there? We don't know. Not a lot of sfeikas. So I'm not so familiar with that. But every once in a while you bump into a shaila in dinei mamonos where it's also a suffix. It's also 50-50. But the suffix doesn't emanate from a suffix in mitzvahs. It's not that we don't know what the facts are. We don't know what the halacha is. It means we're not sure what the din is. When Yerushim divide a property, are the Yerushim and the Lekuchos, are the Bechrayim and the Lekuchos, we have a suffix. The suffix is not from the facts on the ground. The suffix is emanating from the world of the Beis Medrash. So when you have a suffix as such that's emanating from the world of the Beis Medrash, the suffix in Halacha, maybe one can argue, that's not a Motzach of a Raya. What Raya are you going to bring? You're going to bring me a Raya that Halacha such and such? The whole concept doesn't make any sense. So there are some Rishonim who suggest that the whole principle of Motzach of a Raya maybe break down when the issue is an issue in Halacha, not an issue in Metzias. So maybe, that's a big question whether that statement is true. We probably don't postulate like that, but that may, there are some Rishonim who seem to say that way. If that's the case, then we can at least salvage the first shot in the Gemara. We don't have to fall back on the Lashon Achir. But a kopon in terms of our sugya ain't something Muslim Devaday, the Lashon Achir is very, very helpful, because even though Rashi normally holds that there is an absolute guiding principle of dinei mamonos called ain't something Muslim Devaday, Rashi would agree that this sugya is different, because here it's not a question of 50, 100, 100, 0. So everyone agrees to what the basic facts and figures are. It's just a question of how that payment is going to be made. And we're pretty confident that we have a working shot in Rashi. We were almost pretty confident until Rashi told us that we don't have a working shot. Because if you take a look at the end of the 8th of the Ramagomos, after Rashi gives you the whole presentation, the whole Lashon Achir, and we're so excited, jumping for joy, that we finally salvaged Rashi's sheet about Esavos Levade, Rashi says three words that do us in. Rashi says at the very end of the last in the 8th of Maimon Kamos, for Lashon Rishon Shemati. Rashi says, you want to know which is the right pshat? Which pshat I heard from my Rebbeim? I heard the first pshat from my Rebbeim. Rashi was so honest. Rashi could have just hid behind the second pshat and said, yeah, this solves my problem in Yavamas. This solves my problem in Vavasa. Rashi says, listen, but I'm telling you what the emphasis is. The emphasis is that the first pshat is right. That's the Messiah, that's the permission that happened to my Rebbeim, that the first pshat in Gemara is right. First round, I think I was right, so we're back to square one. So we don't really understand, according to Rashi, what is the difference between the two cases. Why is it that in one case we say something most of the body, in another case we don't? So I'll be honest, I don't know what the answer is. I would have been much happier if Rashi wouldn't have told us Lashon Rishon Shemati, would have hid behind the second Lashon. So the Tzorachin on Rashi, the Rashi in Baba Kamer Daf Tes is causing Rashi Tzoras in Baba Metziah Daf Beis, and causing Rashi Tzoras in Yivamas Daf Lameches. So I call upon him, what we have is really the same basic machlokes of Rishonim we had from yesterday. What are the parameters of ain't something most in the Vada? There is such a klal of Lameches and Yivamas. According to Rashi, it permeates all of Dina Mamanas, and you just have to explain away why it doesn't work in Baba Metziah Daf Beis. Why our Mishnah is not an application, either as we said yesterday, it says a Rush, the Bukhayes, there are a lot of different reasons, really quirks, Yotzin and a klal, why ain't something most in the Vada doesn't plug in on Baba Metziah Daf Beis. And according to Tosfos, there's only the plug-in because it doesn't exist. According to Tosfos, there's no such thing as ain't something most of the Vada. It's unique to Yavamas Lama Ches, because it's the suffix of the Shem Yerish. This Gemara, and Baba Kamer Daf Tes, the pivotal Gemara, this Gemara would have been, seemed to have been a proof, at least the way some Rishonim will learn this Gemara. If you accept the Lishna Charina, then you're able to deflect this Gemara. But the problem is the Rishonim we were most hoping and expecting to fall, to kind of hide behind the Lashon Achir is Rashi. And Rashi himself rejects the Lashon Achir. So a little bit of a Tzorachin with the details of Rashi. But the same basic one, the major Machlokes of Rishonim that Eitzchak Moshe Devad from yesterday still stands.
When we weren't tough on seeing to go like Rashi, it said that Rashi is not to be and
that's the question. The question is, does Raviya or Raviya mean either or does it mean that Lashon of Vav can sometimes mean both, can sometimes mean either? Yeah, it's unclear Lashon in Aramaic.
Doesn't sound like Rashi's rejecting this.
Yeah.